Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Well, welcome to another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show. And actually, this is going to be a special edition. Recently, I had the privilege of speaking at my church, which is Venture Church in Mill Creek, and I had the chance to speak about sowing and reaping. What is the gap sometimes between how we sow and actually engaging with our faith to bring that seed to fullness and bring the promise to pass? So, well, without further ado, what I'd like to do is just turn it over to myself here at Venture Church in Mill Creek.
Well, good morning. How is everybody today? Indeed, I am Paul Grant. I got the microphone on, so that's always a good start, right? Well, we are in the middle of a series of called family meetings. And sometimes if you have a family meeting, you may have a conversation around finances. And indeed, if we have a conversation around finances, it might even be a little more specific, which is, how are we going to utilize our finances to give and bless the work of the kingdom of God? Well, that is going to be our family meeting today. Is that okay with you? So we're going to talk about the blessings of God coming into your life. Well, let's start out with a couple fundamental principles here as we get going that I need to establish first. So, because we talk about money, there's oftentimes numerous internal battles that may arise. Those internal battles have been formed in us over a lifetime of living in this fallen world. And because we live in a fallen world where there is extraordinary lack and poverty, where there is only death, despair, brokenness, sickness, COVID, that skews how we perceive financial needs. But in God's kingdom, it's radically different. In His kingdom, there's power. There's fullness, there's health, there's abundance, there's peace beyond words. In other words, in His kingdom, there is nothing missing, there is nothing broken. And Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So it is our example to ask, Lord, we want Your kingdom where there is no lack. Your kingdom where there is fullness, Your kingdom where there is only goodness to invade this earthly realm. And so let's turn today to our main scripture. And by the way, I don't know about you, but if there is a way for me to receive more of God, more of His blessing, then I want to know something about that. Does anyone else need more of God today? Are you here to receive from Him and Him alone? All right, then let's do it. Our main scripture is going to be Mark 6, 41 and 42. And when He, Jesus, had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, He looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to His disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish He divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. Well, let's pray. Father, thank You for this opportunity to look into Your word, to discover more about who You are, to receive more about Your kingdom in our lives. So today, Father, speak to our hearts, change our lives that we may better serve You and Your kingdom in Jesus' name. Well, we're going to look at 5 steps today of what it means to take and sow a seed and receive the fullness of the harvest. We're familiar with scriptures that say, you know, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, right? Have you guys heard that scripture before? And I don't know about you, but for me, there have been multiple times in my life when I have been giving and giving and giving, and it seems like there's a disconnect between the giving and me actually receiving what I'm believing for. And so I want to lead us through five different steps to remain engaged with your giving until it produces the harvest that you are believing for. So here are five steps. We're not going to hide them today. Number one, what do you have authority over? Number two, commit and bless what you have to the kingdom. Number three, release what you have when you are in faith. Number four, follow the plan and instructions of the Holy Spirit. Number five, actively tend to your gift till the harvest. Well, as we take a crack at these five steps, at these five things that we want to focus on, and as we sow into God's kingdom and believing for the fullness of the kingdom to invade our lives, let's take a step at number one. What do you have authority over is the first place where we have to start. So number one, if we look at the story, Jesus was given bread and fish. So in other words, he exerted his power, his dominion, and his control over those fish, right? So they were given to his hands. Now, we could look at that story and we could think to ourselves, Jesus didn't have to do what he did with those fish, with that bread. As a matter of fact, after speaking all day, he probably was hungry. I've already gone through one service. Here I am at the second. I'm hungry already. Okay? So he could have eaten the bread. He could have eaten the fish, correct? Or he could have looked at what was in his hands and said, you know what? My disciples, they've been good to me. They've been hanging out with me. It may not be exactly enough, but let's split it amongst ourselves and take care of ourselves. That could have been an option. But instead, what he did is he received that gift and he determined in his heart, I'm going to use it for God's purposes and for a kingdom principle. And so he took what he had and he gave it over to God to be used. Now, one thing about this portion of what is in your hands, we have to see what the gift that was in Jesus's hands produced. Number one is that the fish, when the disciples broke it off, what did they get more of? Fish, correct? I like interaction, by the way, so go ahead and just speak it out whenever I ask you a question. It's not, I know I'm an attorney, but it really is not just a rhetorical question. So number two is that he had bread. So if he tore some off, we got bread. Thank you. I appreciate the louder section over here. I'll talk to you more. So whenever we sow something into God's kingdom, we can expect to receive back what we sow. It produces like kind. If you plant an apple seed, you're not going to be mysteriously getting an orange off of that, correct? An apple seed will give you apples. So everything in God's kingdom produces after its own kind. Now, in this world, we have money, and money is a bartering system. So therefore, we can sow money, and we can step in and say, Father, I'm going to give this according to what you've told me to do. And now I am going to attach my faith to receive this. So if you can buy it, then you can sow into a ministry. You can sow into God's kingdom, into his work, and you can set your expectation for whatever you are believing for. Okay, so we sow. If you need a car, sow a car, or you can sow finances, because money is a bartering system. Now, in 2 Kings, this was on display. Because in 2 Kings, number 4, there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets who cried out to Elijah saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons and to be his slaves. So Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Now, if you know the story, she went out and got a bunch of oil, a bunch of jars, correct? And then when she took her oil, what did it produce? Oil, that's correct. So the first oil tycoon is sitting right here in 2 Kings. So she produced oil to oil, and she received based upon what the prophet had told her to do. But notice the prophet's question. What is in your hands? It all starts with what do you have legal dominion over? So you cannot barter your next door neighbor's property. What do you have control over? Now, I want you to also notice, what did the maidservant do? The maidservant's response was, I have nothing in the house but a jar of oil. You know, be careful that we don't minimize what is in our hands. This is not a competition. We're not to compare checks with your next door neighbor, that they write more zeros than you do, or vice versa. That is irrelevant in God's economy system. The question is, are you following what the Holy Spirit has told you to give? As a matter of fact, we're familiar with the story of the widow's mite, correct? And in that story, Jesus is watching over her, and she gives what most people would consider very, very little. As a matter of fact, it would be pocket change in today's economy. Be virtually nothing. But here is something that she had no idea of. She had no idea that the Savior of the world was watching her, and that her testimony of giving would be memorialized forever. Don't minimize the gift that is in your hands. What God can do with your gift is beyond what you can ever express, imagine, or think. So be faithful in giving.
You're listening to a special edition of the Legacy and Faith Show, and I was having a discussion at Venture Church. We will be right back with more of that discussion in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswordtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswordtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
You're listening to a special edition of the Legacy and Faith Show, a discussion I had at Venture Church, and let's come back to finishing that discussion today.
Now, as we look at this first step as well, what's in your hands? We have to establish a very important principle, which is your tithe is not an offering. Your tithe should never be in your hands, or rather, it should be in your hands very, very quickly. Okay? It comes in, and it should be put back out very quickly. The tithe operates under a different spiritual principle than this principle of multiplication that I am talking about. Okay? So, in a tithing system, you need to tithe, not because God needs your money, but because you need his spiritual fence of protection. Your tithe establishes God's protection around your financial life. If you do not tithe, you cannot align yourself to hold what God gets to you. Anytime you receive a blessing, if you do not have your spiritual fence of protection around what you possess, then it may simply be available for the enemy to come in and take. Does it seem like your house breaks down, your car breaks down, there's this bill, there's other things that just keep taking little by little of what you're earning? My first question to you is, are you tithing? You may have a hole in your spiritual fence. Your tithe is not to be an offering. It is to be what you give out of your heart's joyful abundance of being in relationship with Him. So your tithe is not your offering. It sets your spiritual fence so that when you receive what God has in store for you as an overflow in your life financially, it will be protected. All right. So what do you have in your hands? Number two, we look at Jesus's example and we saw that He took what He had and He looked up to heaven and He blessed it. Okay. So we need to commit and bless what we have in our hands to the kingdom for kingdom purposes so that we can align those kingdom purposes with what we are believing God to receive. So when Jesus looked up, He engaged the giving process. He was not on autopilot. Be careful that your giving is not on autopilot. Be careful that you're just not writing a check and giving it away as if that's just your duty. Giving is not a duty. It should be the foundation of our joy, and it should be something that we are led by the Holy Spirit to do. So even with your tithe, be careful of just giving it away and not engaging with the gift. We need to be engaged. Blessed means to separate from man and surrender unto God. There's a great example in Peter's calling. So maybe you remember this story. In Luke 5, Jesus was walking by on the water, not on the water, but on the shoreline. And he saw Peter and he goes, "Can I use your boat?" And Pete said, "Sure, why not?" So he gave over his boat and they pushed off. Jesus preached to the multitudes at that point, correct? Because the water acted like a megaphone. Now, first thing, where was Peter? He's in the boat. Let's not miss this. This is a critical, important thing. He was listening to Jesus. He was listening to the word of God. He was allowing faith to be built up within him so that when Jesus then said, "Hey, Pete, the blessing that you're looking for is over in the deep end," he goes, "Yeah, but I've been fishing all night. At your word, I will go." And he had a boat sinking harvest, did he not? So he was in the boat listening to what the word had for him. He was being built up. But the first step was that he took what he possessed, his boat. He turned it over to be used by Jesus, by the Creator. And by that, his opportunity of a physical earthly item changed into a spiritual opportunity for him. We need to change what we have in our hands to a spiritual opportunity. It needs to change legal jurisdictions from this earth system to God's system of blessing. So what we have in our hands, we speak over, we pray over, and we release to the kingdom of God so that our expectations are set up to receive from him of what we're believing for. So step number three, we're cruising right along. See, you got the second service, and so now I'm speaking faster. All right. So number three, release what you have when you are in faith. We're going to spend a little bit of time here. Okay. We need to talk about what does it feel like to be in faith. How do you know that you are in faith? So that's our first question. How do you know that you're in faith? Well, number one, if I told you today that I was wearing a red shirt, how many of you would believe me? Well, not a single one of you, because of course it's blue, correct? Well, why are you laughing? Because you have absolute perfect knowledge of what color this is. It's white. See, there is nothing I could have told you at that moment that would convince you that this is a different color than white. Well, let's look at Romans 4, 20 and 22. He who is Abraham, so Paul is talking about Abraham's faith. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced. Other translations say fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. See, when I told you that this was actually a blue or red shirt, it did not move you emotionally at all. You knew that you were fully persuaded that your kindergarten teacher did not lie to you, that this is white. Okay? And so we need to be in God's word. We need to be fully persuaded that what God says is absolutely true, that he is unwavering. He cannot lie because he is not a man. He is able to perform exactly what he said and bring it to pass in your life. God can be fully, absolutely, unequivocally trusted in your life. So if I heard that I have cancer, am I going to allow that fear to come on me, or am I going to come over here and say, but God's word says that I am fully healed? If this is, I am heading towards bankruptcy, am I going to come back and say, but God's word says that he is my fullness, he is my provision, he has given me everything I have ever needed in this life and is faithful to the end? If I'm having relationship difficulties, am I going to stop and allow those to emotionally pull me into its chaos, or am I going to find my stability in God that says, you are my peace, you are my hope, you have loved me and you will never stop loving me, you are here till the very end, you've promised to never leave me nor forsake me, you are my peace in everything that I do. But see, we can't get fully persuaded if we don't know God's promises. God will perform his promises every time. Not just some of the time. Every time. It is who he is. He is faithful. So, how do I know I'm in faith? Because I have a sense that I am fully persuaded. I am unmovable by the circumstances around me. Now look, these steps I'm giving you or encouraging you to think about are not your answer. Jesus and Jesus alone is always our answer. Our confidence needs to be in God and his promises. Our confidence is not to be in a gift or our action. These are steps to direct you back to the one who has given all the promises. It is to direct you back to where the power in your life needs to be. The only power, the only help we have is to be fully connected to the vine and chase after the one who has called us, the one who is love, the one who is mercy, the one who is ultimately graceful to us. By chasing after him, you establish your foundation of who he is. When you know who he is, you can trust in him, and then you can end up being fully persuaded that he is not going to move. And that what he has said is going to be yours. If you ever begin to chase after the thing that you're hoping for and that you're trusting him for, instead of chasing after him and him alone, then you are setting yourself up for failure. You are setting yourself up for disappointment. But when you chase after him, you will be fully, absolutely, completely satisfied. So these steps are to be a guide to direct you to the one who possesses it all, who is your all sufficiency in all things. That's what these steps are to do. They are to give you the confidence and build your confidence in him and in him alone. For God will perform according to his word. Now we're talking about this step number three. Are we fully persuaded? Where is our faith level when we actually sow something and start believing God that he is going to actually come through and deliver a promise in our life?
Well, I hope you've been encouraged from the first part of this discussion. We're going to finish that out next week. So I invite you back next week to hear its conclusion. But, you know, this last point that I had is really the most important part of this entire discussion, which is, what is our focus going to be on? Is it going to be chasing after a promise, or is it going to be chasing after the one who is the promise? So as we talk about giving and engaging in faith with that giving, whether it's through our tithe or whether it's through additional offerings, we're talking about sowing and reaping. But we need to always be aware that when we talk about sowing and reaping, this is about the journey of our faith with Jesus Christ. It's not about what we can get from Him. He's given us and He gives to us freely. He's given us first salvation. And now there are multiple promises in God's Word concerning our finances. But if we chase after the finance, that's where we're going to trip up. Instead, we need to make sure that we're always focused on chasing after the one who has given it all. And so I hope today's message has been a blessing to you. Please join me again on the Legacy and Faith Show. If there's any other information you'd like about us and what we do, then head over to my website at legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's other services I offer as an estate planner. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. I hope that this has been a wonderful message to you. Come back next week. We'll see you on another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.